an absolute rocket of a right foot.
And getting a second bite at it. Hasselbaink!
Let go by Klopp, had to start again, and then getting that opportunity again, thinking, I'm not going to let nobody take this away from me.
Set
he was saying things to me that I cannot say here.
Okay.
If you want to go, then you need to ask for a transfer request, and then we let you go. From a hero, I became a nobody in like...
Lampard!
Frank was somebody that was always going to make it. Absolutely magnificent football player who scored more than strikers. He's the most underrated Chelsea player of all time.
Yeah.
People have never given him that credit. 60 minutes in the game and Man United are winning, he would come here. It's another walking park for me today.
Yeah. You cannot say that.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Fozcast. We are out here in America and we have got another member of the Premier League 100 Club. An absolute rocket of a right foot, not a bad left foot either, to be honest with you. It's Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbaink. Welcome to the Fozcast, mate.
Hi, Ben. You okay?
Yeah, I'm lovely, mate. How are you?
Yeah, can't complain.
I've got my good friend, Tom. You might not know him. He's got rhino legs. That's what we call rhino legs. Tom?
So he's the star of the show.
He's the star of the show.
Like that.
He will be helping us all the way through this, yeah. We're out in America, Jimmy. First of all, just talk to us about why you're out here, what you're doing, all that kind of stuff.
I'm with Chelsea. I'm doing some ambassador work for Chelsea. Yeah. Hopefully connecting people more to the club. Yeah, just enjoying it, going on the trip, looking at the football, talking to people, talking to sponsors, talking to kids, like today at the school.
Yeah.
And working more on the brand of Chelsea and getting it more out there.
Is that what being an ambassador entails? Is that sort of you're the guy that will go out and spread the word, if you like, about Chelsea FC, about the good work that you do?
Well, yeah, also, but also like today at a school, just being around the kids and seeing how they enjoy football and they support all different teams in the Premier League, but you know, just being around them and giving them my history of Chelsea and how I used to score goals and how much I love the club and why, and when I was as little as them that I wanted to become a footballer as well, and my journey and just connecting them to the Premier League, but also obviously most important to Chelsea.
Okay, listen, guys, just quickly before we get fully into the podcast, just want to say a massive shout out to the lovely people at soccer.com. They're the guys that hooked this up today, by the way. They got all the equipment, the sound guys. You're all smiling behind the camera. You can't see them. But really, thank you very much.
We bought our own mics.
Yeah, Nike as usual as well. When we're out in America, always looking after us. Have you been to America before? Have you done soccer in America before?
I have never done soccer in America. I've been, obviously, to America with my family and holidays and stuff, but I've never done football in America.
So you've been to the game so far that Chelsea have played. What do you make of the kind of the atmosphere and the reception and how it feels in America?
To be fair, my first game was at Atlanta. That's not a bad stadium to be at.
It's incredible, right?
70,000.
Absolutely magnificent. It was a full stadium. Atmosphere was good, very loud. Obviously, we played Newcastle and Almiron used to play for Atlanta.
Yeah, of course,
so there was a little bit more of a vibe, you know, for him. But Chelsea played well. The atmosphere was great. And yeah, it was a good show.
Did you come to the Wrexham game? Were you there?
No, I was not here yet.
Oh, God. I'm glad you didn't witness that one, Jimmy.
What was that, 5-0?
It was 5-0. It was never a 5-0, Jimmy, all right?
Really?
Two goals in the last couple of minutes. It was never a 5-0. See, everybody agrees with me, right?
Just before we get... So Jimmy, you retired, what, 2008?
Yes.
Okay, so I was doing my research and I was kind of trying to connect the dots. Like do between yourself and Ben.
Yeah.
So you two shared two managers.
Okay.
Who were they?
Well, Pardew is one.
Yeah.
Three managers.
There you go.
Not good enough research.
So okay. Not good enough. So Pardew is one. Hold on. I might tell you another one. Who did I share?
They're really tough. These are tough, honestly.
Hold on.
Steve McLaren.
Very
well
good.
Done.
Yeah. Who's the other one? Who did I have?
I think you had this manager twice in your career.
I'll be impressed if you get this one.
Twice?
I think.
I only had him for a short spell, which might be a bit of a clue because I was at Watford at the time and most manager spells
Ranieri.
Are. Ranieri. There we go. There we go. Talk to me. First of all, we're going to talk about Steve McClaren then quickly. Yeah. He actually had my England debut. I've got a lot of good things to say about Steve McClaren. At Middlesbrough, what was he like?
I've got also a lot of good things to say about him. But obviously, you know, when I left Chelsea, I went to Middlesbrough, played there 2 years under him. We always kept like in contact. We always like really had like a really good relationship. I was getting on. I signed when I was 32 and I left when I was 34. So I was a little bit older already. He handled me perfectly.
What, like looking after your training schedule, things like that?
Well, not only that. Just you know how it is sometimes managers, you know, they don't look at the age of the player.
Yeah, just, you know, a bit
how
more
they
respect
speak to them.
Yeah,
and all that. Yeah. The thing is, you don't need more respect.
Yeah.
But when you're getting to that age, you just want a manager to talk to you a little bit more in respect of, okay, this game you're not going to play because of blah 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 blah. You know, you just want to have a more respectable relationship.
Yeah.
You know. And he did that perfectly. So after football, we always stayed in contact. He is why I got into coaching.
Really?
Yeah. So, brilliant coach.
Yeah.
And he invited me when he was at Nottingham Forest. Jim, come and spend some time with us. I already did my coaching badges at the time. But he invited me and he said, Jim, stay as long as you want. Just have a look how we do it, how it is and blah, blah, blah. And after a week, he asked me to become his first team coach. You know?
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
he come on, he's not stupid.
Obviously, he did, you know. So, and that is where it started. But we are still in contact here and there. I still, you know, text him. And, nice, and he's now at Man United being a coach. He absolutely loves it. And yeah, he's top man.
But who were the strikers at Forest at the time? Can you remember? Because I can imagine if you're one of these guys playing for Notts Forest, and you walk through the door, that must be like a dream, genuinely.
Well, I don't know, but it was a really difficult time.
Yeah.
Because when he took over, he was promised certain things.
Ah, okay.
You know, I think he came from Newcastle, and he signed at Forest to get the club back in the Premier League, and he was promised a lot of stuff, and they didn't fulfill the promise.
Come through on them promises.
And after 12 matches, he left.
Wow.
So there we were, and then, you know, you're thinking, what are we gonna do? I actually signed to work with you.
Yeah.
You know, not really to work with others. He advised me, Jimmy, no, stick it out. You need to learn. You need to, you know, see how now somebody else is going to do it and what the difference are and what you will like and what you won't like. And, you know, just get your experience.
That's really great advice, isn't it? Because you could, a manager like that after 12 games could have a bit of hostility and say, no, let all my staff, everybody, let's go. But that shows the kind of how great a coach and manager he is, I guess.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's a good man. We know football is a very difficult world. And we all know that you have to be also a little bit selfish in football. But obviously, he had the best interest into me, you know, and that is important, you know.
What's that like, Jimmy? Because I think people don't think will fully understand how it works when you're a coach or an assistant manager or even a manager. When you're a player, if you sign a 4-year deal, you know that is 4 years of security, right? It is, isn't it? If you worst comes to worst, I've got 4 years, and that's what it can be. Hopefully, I can go on to bigger, better things, sign new contracts, this, that, whatever. When you go into that other world, step over that line, and start to be a coach or a manager, is it something always in the back of your mind playing there where you think this could end tomorrow, genuinely?
Yeah, that's how it is nowadays.
as a coach, it might be a little bit different. As a manager, I think, you know, certain, when I speak to certain ex-footballers and who wants to become a manager, I want a good club. I want a good chairman. I want a good owner. They don't exist no more.
Yeah.
They all want success and they want it now, you know? So even if you go, you think you're going to the best club that you can go to with a good, you know, structure and a good owner, you still have got 6 matches.
Yeah, it's true. I was going to say, in my head, I've got 5 or 6 matches. Any manager in the world, honestly, you lose 5 or 6 matches in a row, you're on the brink. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
And then the higher you go, if you now become top, if you go to the top 4 clubs or top 6 clubs, you don't have 6 matches. You know, you have a lot less. You have to perform. You have to get those results. And majority of the time, it's not the owner or the chairman who's sacking you. It's the fans that are sacking you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so
yeah. It's so crazy, isn't it?
Because the owners, they listen to the fans.
Yeah, of course they do.
They buy the tickets. Yeah. You know, so at the end of the business, at the end of the road, it is a business, and it is driven on success. Now, the problem in football is, what is success? Because for every club, it's different. You know, look at Sheffield United. Sheffield United has got promoted. They're not going to spend a lot of money, but they're in the Premier League. Now, we all know that they're going to have a difficult season. How are their owners going to react if they lose a few matches in a row? What we all know might happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's say that 17th at Christmas.
Yeah.
That for me would be a measure of success, to be outside of the bottom three. Look across the city at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
They get promoted with Darren Moore, and there's questions over budgets. Yeah. But before you know it, he's gone. You look at Gary O'Neill at Bournemouth, and it's an amazing. When you were at Watford, Ben, I think that the year you went up from the Championship and Cisco Munoz got sacked when Watford were 12th.
Yeah, but Watford.
Yeah, different kettle of fish. Yeah, it's probably a bad example. Know?
But with all due respect, that's their identity. That's what they believe in. They believe in success comes with sacking managers and getting a reaction for X amount of time, and then sacking them again and getting a reaction for X amount of time. That's their
model.
That's their model, you know. And you have to respect that. Everybody who owns a club has got their own way. If it works, it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's not how I look at football, but that's why football is so great. We all have got our opinions.
Our own opinions.
You know, can you bring it? Can you bring it to the table? Your opinion. You know, it's as simple as that.
It's funny because like historically, even Chelsea. Back in the day, Abramovich area, he was well known for sacking a manager. Another manager will come in, but success came.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that is sustainable. Mm. But if you look over the last 20 years, Chelsea's been the most successful club over the last 20 years.
So who knows?
Doing what they do. So what am I talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It just goes to show football is not a one-size-fits-all. No,
it isn't. But... If you keep on doing this, I think it is not going to be sustainable. Look at Watford now, you know. I think they're going to end up losing so much more money than if you do it a different way, you know. So there are cheaper ways of doing it, but that is my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
Who am I?
How did you find being a manager?
I loved it, working with players. Mm. Really like. Enjoyed it, and sometimes you have difficult players, you know, but that was not a problem for me. The thing that I was struggling the most with was working upwards, and yes, I know I need to get better with that.
Yeah,
I've done League One and League Two. I showed that I can be a manager, can do it. I've done the Championship. I've been at a very difficult club as QPR. I got the sack at QPR,
while I was doing absolutely magnificent. Mm-hmm. Look where QPR is now. They haven't improved, you know. So I know that I can manage in the Championship or the Premier League. It's getting an opportunity.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm coaching with the England team. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it working with the best talent in the country. You know, doing a lot of attacking plays and working with attacking players and stuff. Really enjoying it. And I love the coaching part. I'm really enjoying it. So, I'm just waiting for what else is next.
The next one.
And people know you, obviously, in England. Obviously, you've been, obviously, you're Dutch, but you've been in and around the Premier League for so long, haven't you? When you signed originally for Leeds in, what, 97?
2 million.
Yeah. 2 million, yeah, in 97. When you signed, because you signed from Boa Vista, did you see that at the time as I've got my big op? Was that in your mind, like that was your big opportunity or?
Yes, because everybody in England, everybody in Holland knows English football. We all know that you know, England is the place where to go, you know, to play on the highest level. At the time, the Italian and the Spanish league, they were a little bit stronger than they are
yeah,
now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But now it's Premier League, you know, it's just Premier League. They have taken over.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be in the Premier League, in the Premiership, you know. I always wanted to be there, and you know, to come from Boa Vista to Leeds was an opportunity, and an opportunity that I thought, look, you need to take that and embrace it and go for it. And thank God it worked out at Leeds, and from there I could go to bigger and better clubs. And you know, with all due respect to Leeds, obviously, don't get me wrong, massive club, has had their up and downs after I left. They're in the Championship again. They're a club. They should never be in the Championship.
No, hopefully they'll go.
Never, ever, ever, you know. So hopefully with these new owners, they can bounce back and, you know, be in the Premier League. The Premier League is not the same without Leeds.
No, totally agree. And actually, Ben, we were in the car earlier on, weren't we? And when you joined Leeds, obviously, they were really going places, weren't they? In that season when you qualified for the Champions League in fourth, we had a little look down the squad list, didn't we, Ben?
Ridiculous.
So we
can name some of these Leeds players here, but then we'll do the Chelsea squad as well in a bit. And if you're of an era similar to myself, about 40 years old, and you live through those Premier League years, I'm going to mention some of these Chelsea players in a minute. They are ridiculous. But let's go for the Leeds squad first.
Yeah.
So we've got Nigel Martin, Alfie Haaland, Lucas Radebe, David Weatherall, Clyde Wynard, Jimmy Floyd-Basketball, Bruno Ribeiro, Lee Bowyer.
Don't forget David Hopkins. I used to love him.
Harry Kewell, Ian Hart, Gunnar Haller. Oh my gosh, this is old school. I love this sort of stuff. This is incredible.
Alan Smith.
Jonathan Woodgate.
Rod Wallace.
Yeah, Paul Robinson.
Paul Robinson took over from Nigel Martin.
Smudger, Alan Smith,
yeah.
That's it. So did you know what sort of team you were going into?
Nope.
Did you? So this is the question then I want to know then. When you're signing for Leeds, signing from Boa Vista, there's a bit of a hype about it. It's £2 million and it might not sound a lot now, but at the time, £2 million, still a lot of money.
Yeah, at the time it was not the highest, but it was also not low.
Yeah.
It was just... it was quite a sum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was pressure.
Yeah.
But me as a person, myself, I never really took notice of that kind of pressure, you know.
Where does that come from? Is that a self-belief? Do you just know what you can do? Is it as simple as that?
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
I think you can overthink things, you know. And stand still and really affect you. But there's no time to stand still. There's time to just play football and have a blast and have a go. honestly, it's just one of those things, you know. I also knew, look, you're going to get this chance once, you know. And I will have to make the most out of it.
Yeah.
Make the most out of it and I was never the most technical player.
Yeah.
I was never the most like gifted in dribbling players and all that kind of stuff. I needed my aggressivity. I needed my shot. I needed my physicality, my anger, and my determination. Mm. You know, I needed that. And I knew those are my strengths. I am not going to dribble past 6-7 players, and I'm not going to try it.
Mm. I love you know? That. That's the difference. That's the difference there, right? When as soon as you know what your strengths are and then your weaknesses are, leave them alone and just go, right, boom, I'm going to focus all my energy. And loads of people nowadays will say, work on your weaknesses, work on your weaknesses. And I'm thinking, yeah, you can to an extent, but you have to like give all, most of your time to your strengths and genuinely just hone the life out.
If you become world-class, if you're good at something, become world-class.
Like batter it,
It was like, I used to love watching you, Jimmy, and it was like getting the ball out of your feet and giving it an absolute thump.
So nightmare.
In our little company that we have got, when we found out you were coming on, because the whole team are football nuts, and I said to the lads, didn't I? I said, right, who have we got coming on? Sledgehammer of a right foot. I think you were like second guess. The lads were loving it.
So. Jimmy Floyd. Yeah. Boom.
Sledgehammer.
That right foot. Yeah, that is a serious Leeds team, by the way. I did mention that Chelsea team. Before we go on to the Chelsea team, something that kind of slipped under the radar of all of us.
It did.
Was until the we researched. Atletico Madrid move.
Yeah.
Well, that we none of us knew that, honestly.
So what happened? I signed a 4-year contract at Leeds. I was a bit of a gamble, by George Graham. So he paid £2 million for me. And I don't know, for me, I had a big contract for me.
Yeah.
You know? But it was not really a big contract in the Premier League.
In the Premier League, yeah, sure.
Kind of status. Yeah. So... I was happy with my contract, fine, blah, blah, blah. Signed 4 years. After 2 years, I now was an international player. I went to the World Cup in 98, became top scorer as well at Leeds, and had 2 years left. They wanted to renew my contract, or we started talking. And you know how it is with negotiations. We were so far off.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was not being ridiculous, you know? George Graham had left, who bought me. He left to Spurs.
How did you get on with George Graham, by the way?
Very good.
Really
he was
good.
Tough as hell.
Yeah.
He was tough, but that was the best thing for me.
How was he tough?
Tough.
Like, is it what we're training or just very direct?
Demands,
or
set
he
the bar.
Was saying things to me that I cannot say here
okay.
on the podcast. I can't. And in those days, you could say that.
Okay.
And you take it or you crumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah? It's just one of those things. You remember back in the day, really back in the day, he didn't do this, but back in the day, if you did something wrong and you had like a big family gathering, you did something wrong and your uncle would like slap your neck. Silly boy. And it would be the normalest thing in life, right? Yeah. Now, my brother wouldn't dare doing that to my children now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just don't do that anymore. Yeah? Same more or less thing, but in verbal things.
Okay.
He was lethal. Okay. In front of everybody.
Wow.
In front of
cut
my,
you
my
down.
Teammates.
Just cut you down.
Oh. But that's what I needed. I took it. I hated him. I know what I was saying in myself. I'm gonna show you. And the anger came more and more, and he got the best out of me. You know? So years and years later, when I asked him, why were you doing that? Well, I got the best out of you. You know? So
it's brilliant.
So he left and he loved me. He loved me. David O'Leary took over and we did not really have that kind of relationship. And I was also not somebody that was always quiet. I was quite Dutch and saying how I feel it, you know?
Yeah.
Not being disrespectful, but just
honest.
You know, honest. So they offered what they offered me. I didn't agree with it. Other clubs came in for me. At the time, Chelsea came in and I knew that other clubs were sniffing around. They didn't want to sell me to an English club. They then said, well, Jim, if you this is what it is, if you want to go, then you need to ask for a transfer request, and then we let you go. So stupid me saying to my agent, yeah, ask for a transfer request. And that's what they used to put me up against the fans.
Yeah.
And the fans just absolutely, from a hero, I became a nobody in like that.
Wow.
And people in front of my house and all that kind of stuff. So I couldn't turn back. I couldn't turn back. But then also what they did say, I actually wanted to stay. I actually wanted to sign an extension on my contract. I loved it in Yorkshire. I loved it at Leeds. The club was just absolutely magnificent. And we were going places, you know. So I wanted to stay. End of the day, it didn't happen. I was sold for 12 million quid. At the time, a lot of money.
Huge amount of money, wasn't it? Yeah.
So they made a lot of money on me. Six times what they bought me for.
10 mil profit, thank you.
You know, so good business. And I went to Atletico and I loved it again in Spain, but we went down.
But we're not sure. Did they get a point deduction or anything?
No. Nope,
it was just purely how. But this is the thing. Scored what, 23 goals that season?
What did you score? 20?
I scored in total with the Cubs something like 37 goals. and we had a really good team.
Yeah.
We had a really good team. Solari, Kiko, Gamara, Santi, Gaspar, Valeron.
Juan Carlos Valeron.
Juan Carlos Valeron. Oh, yeah,
we had some serious players in there.
We had really, really good team. But there was a lot of politics going on behind the back.
Oh,
you know, so, and that didn't help us. We scored a lot of goals, but we got a lot of goals against
conceded a lot.
Tony, who is the goalkeeping coach now at Chelsea, used to be my teammate
at
Atletico Madrid.
It's his fault then, yeah.
No. He was actually a very good goalie. But it was just so weird. So when I was at Leeds and clubs were bidding for me, Chelsea came in and I wanted to go to Chelsea. They didn't want to sell me to Chelsea. So I went to Atletico Madrid thinking, I'm going to play here now for 3-4 years.
The chance is gone.
Yeah. They bought Sutton.
Yeah.
You remember?
They bought
Sutton. It didn't work out with Sutton. And he didn't really feel London or whatever it was. We went down. Klopp couldn't afford me to stay because I didn't have a going down.
Relegation cut.
Close in my contract. So they could not really keep me. Thank God Chelsea came back and bought me for 15 million. And still Atletico made a little bit of profit. And I went to Chelsea.
And that was it. So let me read out some of these Chelsea players, by the way. So, like I say, if you're from my era, which a lot of you lads will be, so Jamie, you will buzz off this. Ready? This is like this is OG Chelsea, by the way. This is like the start of the revolution, basically. Yeah.
I think this was maybe Jimmy's second season. I think. Okay. But yeah, like just rattle some of these names off.
And I'm going to name 25 players here, and every one of them you'll go, yeah. Right, Glenn Johnson, Celestine Baba Yaro, Claude Makélélé, Marcel Desailly, Adrian Mutu, Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, Damien Duff, William Gallas, Jeremy, Mario Malchior, Manuel Petit, Wayne Bridge, Scott Parker, Juan Sebastian Veron, Hernan Crespo, Ardegaard Johnson, that partnership, by the way, Carlo Cudicini, JT, John Terry, obviously, Nicholas Alexis, Philippe Oliveira, Robert Hoove, Jesper Gronkia.
He was rapid.
Yeah, Marcos Ambrosio, Mikael Forsell, and Neil Sullivan. Neil Sullivan just propping up at the end there.
Everybody.
What a squad, mate. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There were obviously the French boys who all won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leboeuf was also
I didn't mention him, did I? No,
Leboeuf was also there. So you had Leboeuf, Marcel Desailly, Petit, who all won the World Cup. Gianfranco Sola, who was just a little genius.
Was he as good as he said? Because we've got a Chelsea fan, Tubes. I don't know if you're aware of Tubes. Massive Chelsea fan. And he will swear blind that he is the best footballer in Premier League history.
I don't know about that.
That's what we say to him.
But he's up there.
Yeah,
he's
proper.
Up there. He, as I just said about myself, not the most gifted. He did everything technically.
Yeah.
He did everything technically. He never went to... No, it was always nice and technically. Get the ball down and play and... So good. So good. Unbelievable. I've only seen one more player. Well, no, two. Two more players played with that were always trying technically to resolve something. You know, Dennis Bergkamp and Juan.
Varane.
King.
Varane, yeah.
Varane was so good for me.
Was it, yeah.
Because, here you come, selfish me. He was number 10 and he didn't like scoring goals.
No, he just wanted to create everything.
He just wanted to create and give assists. So I'm like, do with you. Come on.
You're my boy. You
And that season, when I scored like 37 goals, I think I must have had like 20 assists from him. Must have something be like 20. And he was the skinniest guy ever.
Yeah.
So skinny. You would blow and he would fall over, you know, but he would just find his space, find his way and just be always in the right position and find me. And
I still love him as a
It's amazing it didn't work out for him at Man U, isn't it?
Are we talking about...
It is amazing.
We're talking about...
No. Not Veron.
Juan Carlos...
Valderon.
No, okay, sorry. Sorry. Yes. Oh, yeah. Very good.
I played with Veron as well. But his knees were already
shot at that point.
His knees at Chelsea were.
I want to talk about your partnership with Idagard Johnson.
Yeah.
Is this how it goes in football sometimes as a striker? Sometimes you just find that strike partner, that player that just ticks. It works.
We signed the same day. The same year we signed for the club. He used to play for PSV, so he speaks fluently Dutch.
His English, by the way, can I say, it's the most English sounding.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Spanish as well.
Oh, wow.
So, and we just kicked off straight away, off the pitch, straight away, on the pitch, straight away. He's the most underrated Chelsea player of all times.
Yeah.
He is so technically good, understanding of the game, and know what to do and be in the right positions and stuff. People have never given him that credit.
Would you say he was your, not the best player you played with, but in terms of strike partnerships, would that be up?
The best, by far.
Yeah?
Yeah, by far.
Wow.
But the combinations that, one season I think we scored 55 goals or something together. And I think we set each other up, I think 35 times or whatsoever together. We just knew where we were going to be.
Yeah.
I just knew blindly, okay, he's going to do this. And I already make my run. You know, it's just, and we didn't work on it.
Just natural.
We didn't work on it. It was just, really natural.
Oh my
God. You know? And on top of that, we were always so happy when one of us scored.
Yeah.
You know, for each other. You know, so he was very good. Still in contact with him.
Really, yeah.
Still speak a lot to him. I actually have a missed call from him and I need to a couple of days ago I need to give him a shout. God. He's going to hammer me, but yeah. It's just what it is, isn't it?
So at that time there was a young John Terry breaking into the team.
Yeah.
And Frank Lampard had moved. He was already established at West Ham, but had come to Chelsea. When you go into Chelsea and you see a young John Terry and Frank Lampard, how quickly did you know how good they were or what they were going to become?
Well, John Terry, I didn't know. When I signed, I didn't know John Terry. He was one of the young boys, but I was quickly to know him because in my first training, he whacked me. He properly whacked me. He did not give a fuss. He didn't care. So
I didn't say nothing. I laughed and I just thought, yeah, you'll make it. You'll make it.
You got to be a brave young lad, haven't you?
Here you go. You know, so, but he was good. He was good. Smart, knew where to stand, was not the quickest.
Yeah.
Was not the quickest, but was really almost never outrun because he's always in the right position. Good left foot, good right foot. Technically very good. Old school defender. Loved to defend. Loved to put his head on things. Yeah, and also a leader. But he learned to become a leader.
I was going
to
say, but at that young age, he developed that, did he?
Look, there was Master Desai. There was Dennis Wise. There were big characters in that dressing room. Big characters. Gustavo Poyet, Robbie Di Matteo. You know, big, really big men, big egos. And I think, you know, to be around that, you have to pick up a lot of things. And he did, you know. And to be honest, he was not a screamer as a leader. But over the years, after those players left, people start to respect him in that way. And he's done really well.
And what about Frankie Lampard? What was your...
Frankie signed the year after I signed. I played 3 years with Frank. And he signed for 11 million, as I remember. He came in and Frank was somebody that was always going to make it.
You could say straight away. To the top level, though. To the top level.
You could not see it straight away, but now looking back, yes, you could see it straight away. Mentally, he was so strong, and he saw the professionalism at Chelsea, how everybody was,
the ethos, you know? The way
the
it was
ethos,
set.
Yes, yeah. The, yeah. How everybody was, and we all know that Frank, you know, at West Ham. He was somebody that had a little bit more on him than he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. he could play. And then when he came to Chelsea, himself, he changed that.
Yeah.
You know? And himself worked so hard on himself because he believed in himself. Obviously, we all believed in himself, but he went to go and do. Nobody needed to push him.
Okay.
You know? So he worked so hard on himself and became what he is.
Yeah.
You know, an absolutely magnificent football player who scored more than strikers.
Ridiculous.
You know, and
never be beaten.
But people don't give him enough credit of his assist as well because he had lots of assists. Mm. You know? So yeah, when Frank came in, he had to like adjust, but he was like a chameleon. He adjusted really quick
and adapted and
worked on what he needed to work on. And I remember preseasons, we needed to run 1,000 meters, and him, Mario Melchiot, and Jasper Gronke, they would. I would run them in 3:50.
Yeah,
I was in the last group. Yeah, yeah. So
with
so
the goalies.
You know, the goalies were. But so endurance was not my thing. Yeah. Sprinting, yeah, if you give me 100 sprints, I can do it. But endurance, I suffer. But Damlo, they were doing it like 3 minutes.
Oh, sickening!
Exactly, sickening.
Sickening. Oh.
3 minutes. And they were doing 7 in a so you would do one, you have 3 minutes rest, and then you have to go and do the other one 7 times.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, nasty.
Disgusting.
Nasty. And they would just be there at the back, you know? But no, he became, I think, he improved so much.
Yeah.
But that's all to him.
Down to him,
you know?
Yeah,
it's all down to him. Obviously, he had, like, really good coaches afterwards, like... Mourinho was very good for him, and Ancelotti was very good for him, and maybe improved him tactically or whatsoever, but himself as a player, man, he was second to none.
It's incredible. Can I just say your English is fantastic, Jim?
You and Ida.
Some of the words, though, mate. Some of the words you're coming out with are phenomenal, honestly.
It needs to be better. My kids are laughing at me.
No chance.
I'm telling you, my wife is British, obviously. And my kids are, the three girls with my wife have been born in England. So sometimes when I talk to them, they take the mic.
Of course, tough for you at home. Four girls at home. Oh my gosh.
Mate. I've got four girls, yes.
We've got some quick fires for you in a minute. Yeah. One question I've got though, quickly before, but I want to talk, we'll talk about that in a second as well. I want to know what it is that drove Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink to do it day in, day out, to keep on top of his game, to be that guy that would get the moves and then make sure he established himself as that main striker, that main man. What was it that made you go, yeah, I'm going to be that guy?
I always wanted to be a footballer from when I was 7, 8. Always wanted to be a footballer. And since I got the chance at going to Portugal, a lot happened between. Let go by clubs, had to start again, and then getting that opportunity again in Portugal, thinking, listen, I'm not going to let nobody take this away from me. And that has always stayed in the back of my mind, you know? So, and nevertheless, I love the game. I absolutely love the game. I remember Marcel Desailly used to say to me, and I never used to get it. I love the game. Don't get me wrong. I always loved the game. But he used to say all the time to me, Jim, these are our best years.
Yeah, time of our lives.
These are our best. And I said, Marcel, shut up. Jimmy. And he used to look at me, Jimmy, these are our best years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say, I say that to the Wrexham lads now. I promise you, yeah. I say
that. They don't get it, do they?
No, they don't. They ain't got a clue what I'm talking about.
They don't get it.
Time of our lives, lads. Yeah. I make a point. I'll tap it. I'll go, time of our lives, this is, lads. Yeah. Time of our lives. Yeah, they just don't know it yet.
It was the time of my life. Oh, man, just getting out of bed, driving to training, having breakfast, train, laugh with your...
With
the lads, taking the mick out of each other. Go home, sleep, whatever, do whatever. Yeah. And the next day you do it again.
That's fantastic, isn't it? And when you were saying about the drive, Ben, I don't think we've ever asked a striker this, actually. Certainly I haven't. Premier League golden boots.
Yeah.
Are you conscious, like, in the season going, obviously you want to score as many goals as you can, but as the season comes to a close, because you won one you shared with 18, and then in 2000 and 2001, you won it outright. Do you, as you get towards the end of the season, think to yourself, I want to win the Premier League Golden Boot?
Not really.
No?
No, not really. You just want to score as many goals as you can and do damage. Yeah, as a striker, you know, if you've scored a hat-trick, but you have missed one, you're annoyed that you have missed that one, especially if that one was easy. If you've won 4-0, you're happy. You're really happy. But if you haven't scored as a striker, you're not satisfied. You're happy, but you're not satisfied.
Yeah.
You know? And that are goal scorers. You know? And you really don't want them any differently. If you ask Haaland that, I bet you he will say the same. 4-0. Yeah, I'm happy. We won. We got the 3 points. But I'm not satisfied. You know? I want to be also on the scoring sheet and be there, you know. So yeah.
Did you ever feel sorry for any of these goalies? You know, when you got it onto that right foot, out your feet, and you know you're about to pull the trigger, right? And you see it, and you know you've connected like a dream, and you know that it's got a chance. And then the goalie just, it'll move, it'll this, it'll that, and then the goalies are diving all over the shop. Please, just say yeah a little bit, all right?
Not whatsoever. I used to, when we do finishing stuff, and I used to smash them from close by on goalkeepers. They used to hammer me and hate it, and I didn't give.
You took one in the throat last night, didn't you?
I took one in the throat from 6 yards, and I've got the sorest throat now today, but that's what they do. They don't care. Yeah. Hammer it as hard as they can.
Well, we're talking about goalies then. So I was doing a little bit of research over it, and we're looking at the player, the goalies that you played with again. Yeah. So we've got Nigel Martin, just to name a few, Nigel Martin, Paul Robinson, Jose Molina, Ed De Hoy, Mark Bosnich, Carlo Cudicini, Mark Schwarzer.
Some big ones, yeah.
Some big goalies there,
just,
isn't there?
Just give us, can you just give us a few words about a couple that I'm going to pick out here? Some goalies that I kind of really appreciate as goalies growing up. So we'll go for Nigel Martin at first.
Top.
Yeah.
Top. Nowadays, he would struggle because of feet, but as a goalkeeper, as saving, as stopping goals in, one of the best that I've ever played with. Brave.
Yeah.
No nonsense. Brave. With his feet, he was not great, but what a lad.
He used to make spectacular saves, didn't he?
He was magnificent. Oh, yeah. He knew the art of goalkeeping. Right. He knew exactly the art of goalkeeping. He was treated badly, though, at Leeds.
Okay.
Let's go for Ed De Hoy. I was with Ed De Hoy at Stoke City towards the end of his career, by the way.
He used to come in his tracksuit.
Yeah, he used to wear a bum bag before bum bags were a thing. Like,
he used to wear a bum bag.
Bum bag, yeah. Yeah. Fanny pack.
Obviously, I know Ed from Dutch national team as well and from Chelsea. Ed was a very technical goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
Very
Dutch.
Technical.
Very Dutch. Yeah, very Dutch. Dutch. Yeah.
Struggled a bit in England with the physicality. Yeah. He was not always the fittest.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was not always the fittest.
Don't need to say more. I know what you mean.
But,
I know.
But very good goalkeeper. Technically really, really good and funny to talk to.
Yeah, he was a funny guy, isn't he? Carlo Cudicini?
The spider.
Yeah.
We call him the spider. What a he took over from Ed. What a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So quick.
Cat.
So quick with his hands and making absolutely magnificent save. Not the biggest, not the biggest, but so agile. Could play with his feet already those days. A lot of time for Carlo.
And finally, Mark Schwarzer.
Marky, yeah, a lot of respect for
Mark. I'm so glad you said that. If you'd have said something bad then, I'd have been heartbroken. I love Mark Schwarzer.
No, I've got a lot of respect for Mark Schwarzer. First of all, as a person.
Yeah.
First of all, as a person. Second of all, as a goalkeeper. Big boy, brave, no nonsense. Yeah. Put his self on the line, you know.
Professional, I've heard
very,
he was.
Very professional, very professional. We used to, when we played at Middlesbrough together, we used to live together in Harrogate, very close to each other. So we would travel quite a bit. Together to Darlington, to the training facilities. Him, me, and Garrett. Now such a good guy, such a really lovely gentleman. You know, still see him here and there because he does a lot of
PLP stuff, doesn't he? Yeah.
Very good goalkeeper. We were very successful with him at Middlesbrough.
Love that.
So did you two? There was a few years overlap in your careers, wasn't there?
It must have been.
Yeah. Do you remember
I must
playing?
Must have scored against Ben.
Must have done.
You said that earlier on.
Almost certainly.
I would be really disappointed if I haven't.
But you probably have, honestly. It's fine. Most people did, to be fair. It's not fine.
So you play Man United. After Man United, where you go?
So I was on loan at Watford in the Premier League in 2005-06.
So you would have been at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Maybe played you against Middlesbrough. And then the problem was I went back to Man United and I was out for a few years injured with cruciate and stuff. And then I went and left and went to Birmingham in 2011. Done by then,
So I might not have scored against you then.
I'm sure we can dig.
Because you were injured.
Oh, Jimmy, it's been incredible. Thank you so much. We've got just a few quick fires to finish the podcast, but mate, this has been absolutely world-class. We can't thank you enough. Okay, Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank, quick fire questions. Best player you've played with?
Oh,
you're going to disappoint some people here.
I can't leave it with one.
Go on then, a couple. I'll give you a couple.
Gianfranco.
Yeah.
Definitely. Bergkamp. Oh. Definitely. Valeron.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's a good three. We'll take that three.
I'll give you them three. Player that surprised you the most, just how good they were?
Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah. Was he that good?
Yeah, it was a different planet, especially at World Cup 98. I was green. Came from, was at Leeds. I was called up for the first time in the Dutch national team, going straight away to the World Cup. Mate, that was an eye-opener, how really? They saw football. Different.
Top.
That
top
goal
level.
Against Argentina, was
yeah.
it?
Oh, my God.
That was naughty.
Most challenging player you've ever played against, toughest player, basically, somebody you knew would give you a big old game on the Saturday.
Not tough, but I only did once well against him. I didn't like playing against him, Rio Ferdinand.
Really?
I didn't like playing.
What was it?
And you know yourself how he is.
Yeah.
He's quick, he's strong, he can read the game.
Clever, yeah.
But he's also a little shit.
Yeah, I know, of course. He had it all.
He talks in your head.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah, he would come and like, if 60 minutes in the game and Man United are winning, he would come in your ear, oh, it's another walk in the park for me today. you know, he would say that, and you would hear it, and you would just... No, you would just, yeah, it would.
Ballend, do you want to call him a ballend? Yeah. Rio, you're ballend. Guilty pleasure, basically like a cheat meal. If you've got to have a cheat meal, something where you're starving, you don't know what to eat, you're going to order a delivery or Uber Eats or something like that. What you ordering? What's your go-to?
I actually was, that is a British thing, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a nice thing in Holland, no?
No, not really. After the game, you have cravings.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it wouldn't be like, wouldn't be
nothing
like,
ever, it's not
no,
a thing,
maybe
no?
a burger or whatsoever, yeah, but not, nothing, it? Nothing mad.
Your most favorite moment in your career?
Being called up for the Dutch national.
Just for the pride alone, yeah.
What about if you could pick one player of your career to be on your team in a quiz?
In a quiz?
Yeah, basically.
So it has to be a very intelligent
very
player.
Very intelligent yes. player.
Graeme Le Saux.
Graham, yes, so.
I've heard that, yeah. And one player you wouldn't want on your team?
You can't answer
that. You can't ask him who's a dumbass, man.
I'm not answering yeah. that.
Who was it that asked? Was it, I think it was Nick Pope actually did answer. Was it Nick Pope? I can't
yeah,
remember.
They don't chuck anybody under the bus.
do you know what Nick Pope said? Person you'd most like to have on a team, he went, oh, maybe Sven Botman, because I've seen him read a book.
Yeah. That's it. That's what put
that
you on top
it.
Of the list.
Yeah. Saw him reading a book.
Jimmy, that was fantastic.
Honestly, thank you. Once again, it was nice.
We can't thank you enough. Again, quick shout out, soccer.com, you boys.
Legends, brilliant. Thank
Nike,
you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you're the man. Up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
Cheers, man.
Up the?
Fozcast.
Okay, then.
Thanks everybody for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.